Our first scripture reading comes from Psalms 119, verses 1 through 8. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and keep him with all their heart. They do not wrong but follow his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways are steadfast in obeying your decrees, that I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me.
My scripture reading is Deuteronomy 30, 15 through 20. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances. Then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to you, to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob.
We do continue our way through the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. And so this is the third week. Not sure if we're going to get through the fourth week in the chapter 5 as we get closer here to Transfiguration Sunday. So may get a combination of that. But it's interesting how God shows up in and through God's Word, written long ago, but continues to be God's living word. And so as we follow the lectionary over the course of 3 years, through a three-year cycle, we find ourselves with these texts from Matthew's gospel for this day. And so I'm going to read. If you're following along, don't get confused. I'm going to read from a transliteration of a different version from J.B. Phillips that was written a number of years ago, kind of very similar to the message that we find from Eugene Peterson. So I do encourage you to open your Bibles. I will refer to that, but the language will be a little bit different as I read. Beginning in chapter 5 in verse 21. You have heard it that it was said to the people in the old days, thou shalt not murder, and anyone who does so must stand his trial. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother must stand his trial. Anyone who contemptuously calls his brother a fool must face the Supreme Court, and anyone who looks down on his brother as a lost soul is himself heading straight for the fire of destruction. So that if, while you are offering your gift to the altar, you should remember that your brother has something against you, you must leave your gift there before the altar and go away. Make your peace with your brother first, then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your opponent at law while you are on your way to court. Otherwise, he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge in turn hand you over to the officer of the court, and you will be thrown into prison. Believe me, you will never get out again till you have paid your last farthing. You have heard it that it was said to the people in the old days, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." But I say to you that every man who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Yes, if your right eye leads you astray, pluck it out and throw it away. It is far better for you to lose one of your members than that your whole body should be thrown into the rubbish heap. Yes, if your right hand leads you astray, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than your whole body should go to the rubbish heap. It also used to be said that whoever divorces his wife must give a proper certificate of divorce, but I say to you that whoever divorces his wife except on the ground of unfaithfulness is making her an adulteress. And whoever marries the woman who has been divorced also commits adultery. Again, you have heard that the people of old days were told, "Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths." But I say to you, don't use an oath at all. Don't swear by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. No, and don't swear by your own head, for you cannot make a single hair white or black, whatever you have. Let your yes be a plain yes, and your no be a plain no. Anything more than this has a taint of evil. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. God, once again, we would ask that you would give us the eyes to see and the ears to hear and the hearts and minds to understand what you would say to us this day. Before we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Friends, as Jesus was sharing these words, as we understand the best that we can, this is about relationships. And in fact, that's what's at the heart of the matter. And in fact, as we speak of the waters of baptism, as Brooke mentioned that to the children, that the old life is gone and a new life has begun, we're reminded of that often. We're reminded of that sacrament often, that we know that it is beyond where we are, where God is leading us. And so we find ourselves in the midst of the church, in the midst of the community of faith. We remember that Jesus, as he started this Sermon on the Mount, that he sat down. As one with authority, he, Jesus, taught his followers, who also hear this message this day as Jesus spoke it. And different commentators say different things about this particular passage. Most agree that Jesus went beyond what was being said in the passage. As we know through these antitheses, that we know that there is much to be unpacked. There is much to be said. way more than this three-hour worship service is going to provide. Just checking. Just one, to see how you might react, and two, just to know if you're listening. Most agree that Jesus goes beyond what is being said. And so at the heart of the matter are relationships. That every member, that every person in the community of faith matters. And so we make a commitment to one another. And so that the I becomes a we. We know that John the Baptist, in John's words, that John said, "I must decrease so that he," Jesus, "might increase." We can use those same words as a community of faith as we say, "I must decrease so that we, who are part of the body of Christ, might increase." He, Jesus, sat down with authority and he taught his followers. Now, they have seen much, even at this early stage in his ministry, just as we have seen much, we have heard much, and we begin to understand. And so Jesus' message for us this day is a message of practical application. How we together as a community of faith become the body of Christ with one another, but also out into the world. It's a math problem, Martha, and my wife and others who have taught math. It's a divine equation, however. Who we are plus what we do is to equal consistency. And that was Jesus' message for those who were listening that day. Who I am, my being, is consistent with my actions, both what I say and also by what I do. And so we find these words in the midst of the community as he is addressing it. He uses an Aramaic word, racha. It's R-A-C-A. It's anger toward another in one of these antitheses that he's talking about. By the way, that means a contrast or an opposition between two things. And in the midst of this, we start to look and see what are the present day issues that this passage speaks to. And we have to end with asking ourselves the question, how would our lives or our church, perhaps the society in which we live, change if we were to obey Christ? Change is a big word. We say it a lot, and every time that I say it, just like my dog in the backyard, when Nala notices something different, Nala's hair stands up and wants to know what's going on in my yard. Jesus addresses this because he recognizes that in the midst of relationship, by the way, relationships, some people say, well, you know, that opposites attract. Some of you heard that before. And from what we understand, that's a good thing. Because if we all were exactly the same, I'm not quite sure what life would look at. But in the midst of this, our wants and our desires are sometimes different. But yet we find in and through this scripture, through this text, we find these if-then, these clausal statements. If you do this, then this happens. Blessed are those who, for theirs becomes. In other words, if you do the things that you are called to do and the things that you are called not to do, If those things happen, then better for the kingdom. But in the midst of this, we are called to not just be the same, we are actually called to be different. And so those phrases like go against the flow that you often hear in Christian community, or to be different, or to live differently, becomes for us an invitation, which I believe for us is just every time that we gather as a community of faith, it is an invitation. It is an invitation by God to for us to then respond to what God is calling us to be and to do. It is an invitation by our God to live a consistent life, that our words and our actions match up with our thoughts of who we are, back to that divine equation of who we are and what we do, consistency. In the midst of this, overarching, perhaps we put that somewhere out on our campus, on the church plant, on the building somewhere that says, every member, and I would add friend, every person in the community of faith matters. And so every voice, every want, every desire needs to be considered as we journey together in faith. I remember sitting in front of a group of children week after week after week as they gathered at the front. Would always remind them of this, which is a reminder not just for the children, but it is also a reminder for each of us. And it is this, that you are a child of God, and that you are loved by God. And in the midst of that, we find that we as a community of faith are trying to figure out what does it mean to be rooted in this relationship that God has called us, invited us to be a part of. And so as we're in conversation with one another, in the midst of those wants and those desires, the eyes to see and the ears to hear and the heart, the mind to understand one another. And that's so vitally important in a community of faith, especially as a community of faith is striving to grow, to go wherever it is that God desires for us to grow. And or however God wants us to grow, and wherever God calls us to go. There's some urgency here. And this understanding of wholeness, as Brooke took those pieces together and put those pieces together, there's an urgent need for reconciliation, for bringing things back together so that things might be restored, that we would experience wholeness in each of our lives and our life together. What the text calls for is simple, unabashed honesty in the full range of human relationships, truthfulness and faithfulness. This is 3 weeks into the Sermon on the Mount. As Jesus first talked to the disciples in the beginning and said, "Blessed are." And we understand those if-thens. And then last week, we focused more on the marks of discipleship. What does that mean for us individually as we journey alongside of one another, where we find ourselves this week realizing that God draws together a group of people who ordinarily wouldn't be together. Marked on our likes, our interests, our wants, and our desires. You can go on the list. God draws this group of people together and says, be. Just simply be. Be who you were created to be. And when you understand that, who you are and whose you are, the opportunity for us is to go forth together, where each and every voice is heard and understood, so that with one heart and one voice we move forward in the direction that God has invited us to go. I want to close by simply identifying and reminding us of the key themes of this passage, which I encourage you to go back, as I believe I reminded you last week, as I believe I reminded you the week before, to read through the fifth chapter of Matthew's gospel. Here are the common themes, such as God's high standards for our behavior, the need for grace and forgiveness, our need for periodic challenge and renewal, the call to choose, to understand what it means to be in the midst of a heartfelt commitment based on a personal relationship with God in Christ. It's about relationship. And I believe that the scripture from the very beginning was about a relationship. Your relationship with God, the one who made you and the one who sustains you and the one who will always be with you. And that's what the message is this day. It's about relationships and the importance of that as we journey together in the direction that God has called us to go, as we understand who we are in and through Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Friends, thanks be to God. Amen.